Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. How are you going, Amla?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
What are we talking about today?
How we analyze music and how we as musicians have the analytical brain and the creative brain. So the analytical, which is the left part of your brain, and the creative, which is the right part of the brain. And how do we use both if we use both? If some people do use both, some people do. I think some people don't. Some people, you know, are more of a analytical sort of musician where they read music all the time and, you know, they perform with charts and, you know, they leave it to the charts, and then others have more of a, let's say, put their own feel into it and then use a creative side. I think all musicians use both. Music has it got numbers, right?
Yeah.
Maths, beats, notes, quarter notes, sixteenths, and all of them. So I think there's a blend between both. When you sit down and I suppose I'll put you into a bit of a situation where you're practicing the flute,
yep,
and you're practicing a piece of music that is in front of you.
Sheet music. Yeah.
How do you go about practicing? Do you just go from start to finish, or do you actually go through the sections and see what there is and analyze them?
Yeah, that's a good question. If it's a brand new piece of music, okay, I actually just like to sight read it to test my sight reading skills. Okay. So I like to just start for fun because, yep, I find it really exciting.
Yep.
I'll be like, oh, this looks tricky. Scan, like I'll spend a minute scanning it, and then my aim is to just keep improving my sight reading because the levels dropped a bit since leaving uni.
Yeah, so same. Yeah. My levels
was the reading level. So I'm just trying to get back into the habit of reading ahead while I'm playing the previous. So I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I guess that's my way of analyzing it, like reading the notes a bar ahead.
Yeah.
In that sense, if it's a brand new piece of music.
Yeah.
But if it's an existing work that I've been working on for a while, I will split it up into sections. I'll try and rework it in different ways. Like I might just play the last bar backwards, or I just try lots of different little methods.
Well, that's a bit of both. That's analytical and creative. You're actually reading and you think, oh, there it is, but you're playing it backwards. So that's being a bit creative.
Well, one of my teachers at uni, I remember her saying to me, play that bar. If there's a tricky bar, play it in as many different ways as you possibly can. Okay. Which has worked for me. So I play it backwards. She goes, you can play it backwards and you'll be able to play it forwards because you're just getting a different perspective on each note. Yeah. But even just obviously different rhythm variations. So short, long, long, short, lots of different rhythms. So I still do that now if I'm
okay. That's interesting. That's actually something that I might adopt.
Yeah, it's really worked for my technique. Like I can just fly through a lot of stuff if I'm reading flute.
Yeah.
But I guess what you're saying about the analytical versus the creative, I'm in a really interesting stage at the moment where I'm starting to teach myself jazz music and all the modes. So I'm doing a bit of reading, but I'm also listening a lot and trying to start transcribing what I'm hearing.
So you're analyzing.
I'm analyzing, but I'm also trying to, I guess previously with improv, I haven't been analyzing. I'd just be hearing chords and just adding notes. But now I feel like I want to take, for me at this stage, I feel like in order for me to be able to take my improv to the next level, I want to start looking at jazz and expand my music vocabulary.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that because a lot of the times we start off analytical and it's the start of that creative process.
Yeah. And then we go into – it's so true. Yeah.
And I think even people who aren't professional musicians who have learnt music of some sort in the past, I think it helps them with other things in life. So I know with my kids, and especially with my daughter, when she started learning the piano, she actually excelled in maths at school. So she excelled in nearly all of her subjects. So I think there's a part there where the creative mind is helping the analytical mind and vice versa.
Yeah.
So the analytical mind is kicking off the creativeness, and the creativeness is giving back something to the analytical, so you can actually create something and put it into that perspective. That's how I think it's working for some people. But when you're playing music, also that analytical part, especially when you're playing, I think in a group.
Yes, that comes into play. Yes.
But that kicks off again the creative part as well. So you can play with a bunch of people who are different personalities, introverts, extroverts, and you can start rehearsing on a piece or creating a piece. And that analytical part, I think, is the common denominator for everyone, because you're all playing in a 4/4 time, or you're playing in a certain time or from a certain key.
Mm. With certain chords that you may have a chart for, depending on what kind of band you're in.
Or you might not have a chart for.
No, exactly. But you're still, like you said, those other practices are analytical.
Yeah, correct. And I think that sort of like gives that it kicks off that creativeness, because then you'll say, oh, what about if we do this? Or what about if we do that? Does this sound good? Does that sound good?
Mm.
That's when you start asking not only yourself but the members in your band if you're playing with a band.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot to do with being analytical, but I think it can't be over analytical.
No, you've got to have a balance. I mean, would you say you have more of one versus the other, or
It depends.
Yeah,
it depends. It depends on the piece. It depends on what I'm doing. It depends, and even from a producing perspective, I think you got to be analytical and set your goals and you know, we have to come to this sort of thing, but along the way, you need to be very creative of how to get to there as well. So, for me, I think what helps all the time is that being analytical, you've got these boundaries or these things, but then the creativeness comes in, where creativeness doesn't have standards, and this is where it can sometimes that's where I think where artists feel confused as well, because they're trying to fit something into something that doesn't fit. It's not standard from their creativeness.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
How do you find that? Like, how do you find when you're composing or when you're arranging music? How do you find your creativity trying to put that, for example, into a chart, or trying to put that into a written piece of music?
So I guess for me, I find that currently, when I write music, it's all very creative, so I'm just improvising. But when I'm specifically working with improvising with other bands, this is where I've started learning the jazz, because I feel like my improv is more ambient and isn't to the style of the and a lot of bands I'm playing in are requiring more of a what's the word,
structure?
The word we shredding.
Oh, shredding.
And I could shred in classical music, but I can't shred in say jazz or something like that. But I guess with the improv, what you're saying, I found that when people were playing my music, I had to write out charts, and that was
and
a bit strange.
How did you find that? Yeah.
I found,
same. When I agree with that. Feel strange, because it's, if you haven't written it in chart form before, and then you think, because my pieces, a lot of them have A and B sections, and C sections. It's just like from start and you get to the end. There are some interludes here and there, but it's hard to chart, and that's, I think, going out of that that coming out of that analytical sort of side of where, you know, well, how come this doesn't fit here, and how come this doesn't fit there, and then sometimes there's a half bar somewhere, and then there's something there, and you think, running a chart for this is going to be tedious.
Yes, especially what you've been writing, writing a chart for that. I can't imagine.
It's hard. And then they've got to put their own interpretation in that chart.
Yes.
And this is where I think that analytical side and creative side meet, because A, you've got a chart, you're following a chart, and this happened to me just very, very, very recently, where I'm following a chart, and then you're forgetting about being creative a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You feel there's like a block. It's so true. It's such a good point. Even when I was learning classical music at uni, it got to a point where I couldn't play it musically. It was just very structured. And then I ended up just memorizing the music and then getting rid of the sheet music so I could have the freedom.
That's what we resort to. But sometimes there's a lot of things to remember to memorize.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. Yeah. It's never easy, especially classical music. And memorizing all of that, jeez.
Yeah, but it just felt restricted. I felt very restricted. And also when you've got a music stand there, you're covering half your face and you're not actually, I don't know, you feel like it's almost like a barrier to the audience.
Yeah, you're in your own little world.
It's a great way for you if you're feeling nervous. You can just lift a stand up.
that's right. But yeah, that part of it is, I think, challenging.
Very challenging, I agree. Because,
yeah, especially if you're going in to do a session or you're whether it's a live session or a recording session, and they've given you the charts, you're going by the charts. All you want to do is just play the right notes and play, you're concentrating on playing what's in front of you. And sometimes your embellishments are not required in some situations.
But then does the musicality disappear in that?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Yeah. Does it disappear? Does it disappear for you?
Yeah. Do you feel like you're just becoming a robot? Or like you said, especially with sessions.
Yeah.
Depends what the person wants too. Yeah. And how much.
Yeah. The person might be just fine and happy with what you're playing from the chart. Mm. But this is the thing. You're going to need to memorize or forward read a little bit from the charts, as you said before. But you're going to need to memorize a little bit and prepare yourself if you have the time and you have the leisure to prepare yourself to if you do want to put those little embellishments in put a bit of your stamp in there, you're going to need to have a bit of time to actually do that. Yeah, to memorize some of the charts.
And that's analytical in itself. It's funny, being analytical in order to be in order for the creative side to
it's funny, isn't it?
It's very funny.
Yeah, we all say, oh, you have to be creative, and all the, and that's very, very true. But to kick off that creativeness, some people need, for example, a beat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Yeah.
And then they start being creative. That's analytical. You're actually counting.
Oh, yeah.
So you're analyzing. You're analyzing the rhythm. So, all right, this is a 4-4, this is a 3-4, or whatever. But I think when you come to that happy medium and you have the best of both worlds, it's not only going to help you with music, it's going to help you with other things in life. Like, working in the corporate environment for a long time, I think music helped me a lot because I can actually, I can understand and think outside the box.
Yep.
And I have done, and I've put in ideas where people wouldn't think it's logical. And the other thing is that you can, it actually helps you to relate with people too. So you're going to analyze this person, you're going to see what sort of person, and you're going to know how to approach this person.
Yeah.
So that's what it comes down to as well. And it's that the critical thinking as well, where, if something is right here, right now, and you got to think of something, that's going to, possibly make a difference. You got to know that way of thinking as well. And I think musicians have that way because sometimes they jump into a band, they haven't played with this band before, so it's critical thinking. You're aware, you're a bit stressed.
Yeah.
But I think that thing of being put on the spot. If you've got that analytical mind and that creative mind, it's both going to help you. Both are going to help because you've got the structure there and everything, but your creativeness is going to help you probably play better with other musicians.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they might reciprocate.
Yes.
And they might think, oh, geez, this guy's just come in and he or she's just playing, So I think that's – it's very important to have both, and as I said, it helps, I think, in life outside of the music realm.
Well, you're using different sides of your brain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's definitely helpful.
And it helps the kids especially. Like that's why a lot of schools have music programs. They might not be professional musicians, but it's going to help them develop the other skills I think necessary.
Or even just things like organizational skills through being analytical.
Yep.
And having a format and layouts you can apply that to. I mean, I can't talk but for tax, you know, tax season, making sure you keep all receipts for petrol receipts and things like that.
And not only that, sometimes that sort of organization helps within the music as well, being organized with say for example with your charts, with your equipment, or with your, you know, if you're going to be recording with your files and folders in your PC tray.
Yes, exactly. You know,
because that can get quite messy.
Very messy.
Yeah. So I think that having both, if you know, I think we all have both, and we have the ability to use both. Use it. Use both.
Definitely. Yeah.
One will help the other at some point in stage.
Yeah.
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 Do you have any gigs coming up?
Oh.
That's a quick change.
I can't even think. I do have a few gigs with the Lone Mariachi and the Silver Masked Men. I mean, you could just probably look them up on Instagram. But the only one I can think of is with you.
We have a gig which is our first
duo,
duo type of gig together at the Le Monde Hotel on the 14th of December.
Oh, I said Lomond. Le Monde. Oh, fancy. And what about you?
I've got a couple of gigs coming up on the 1st and 2nd of December.
Oh, you got one at Ragtime as well.
Yeah, I've got one at Ragtime as well. But the 1st and 2nd of December, I'm playing for a global Turkish star called Mustafa Sandal at the Q Room and at the Factory Theatre in Sydney. Q Room here in Melbourne, Factory Theatre in Sydney. And I have a solo gig at the Ragtime Tavern in Preston, which I'll be experimenting a bit with loops and things, and then we've got the Le Monde, which is gonna, I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, me too.
It's gonna be that's gonna be a bit of an experimental gig for us too.
Definitely. We're just putting some tunes together.
We're putting some tunes together, and you can expect a lot of improvisation as well.
And that's been a bit of both analytical and creative.
Yes, it is. That's going to be a bit of a mashup in our brains.
Yes. And on that note.
Yes. Actually.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Our sponsors,
Cake Eclipse. Of course. Look at this beautiful.
Sticky date.
Beautiful creation.
With some red currants straight from the garden.
And musicproservices.com.
Musicproservices.com, yes. Thanks, Amla.
Thank you, Valentino. See you next week.
Ciao.
The Strike Accord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.